I welcome you to another edition of the Let the Bible Speak program. I'm glad that you're interested in studying God's Word this morning. I'm glad that you're interested in spiritual things. We appreciate you joining us each and every week on the program and listening. We would also like to have you come visit us in person. We are open and we are regularly worshiping God at 290 Warfield Boulevard. Please come and visit where we speak the truth and love. You would be our honored guest. We would love to have you. Last week on the program, I began a study of the Christian and racism. And we looked at what is and is not racism. We looked at a dictionary definition. It's being misused today, but the traditional understanding and definition of that word is a belief that the primary determinant of human traits and capacities and that of racial differences produce an inherently superior or particular race. So if you have particular traits, then you're superior to someone else. If you're one skin color, you're superior to someone else. The belief that one race is superior to another. That's the basic and standard definition of racism, or one race is more pure than another. And we began to see that that is not the Bible way. We talked a little bit about some causes of racism. People simply do not know the Word of God on this matter. They're going by what they hear in society. Ignorance and fear will often breed racism and a twisting of the Word of God. Pride and prejudice will breed racism. Hatred taught from one's youth on up definitely breeds racism. Stereotyping someone before you even get a chance to talk to them or know them, you just see them and you stereotype them, that can lead to racism. This morning on the program, we want to wrap up this particular study. And we want to look at what has resulted in racism, and then we want to close with how, from God's Word, can we prevent that. What are some of the results of racism? Well, one is that you're not supposed to marry someone of another color or of another race. That is becoming a little less of an issue today than it was years ago. But years ago, whites were not to marry blacks and so forth. And there's just nothing like that in the New Testament that we are under today. Under the old law, the Jew was to not marry the Canaanite for religious reasons. Deuteronomy 7:3, Ezra 9 and 10, Nehemiah 13, other places, so that they would not be corrupted religiously, but that's a different reason. And number two, we're not under that law today, under the New Testament law. There is no law in the New Testament forbidding a person of one color marrying of another color. Another result of racism, and of course this has been very common in the past in our nation, and like I said last week, we have moved away from that in a good way, and that is segregation. Staying separate from someone of another race. There was a time in this nation where there were white and black restrooms, white and black water fountains and so forth, white and black schools, and we worked to desegregate those things. Discrimination has been a result of racism. Slavery, violence, hatred, assaulting people. And there are cases of that in our country today and in our world. I don't believe it's systemic. I talked about that last week. I don't believe it's everywhere. I believe people are blowing that out of proportion. But there are legitimate cases of racism, and that's wrong. To mistreat someone, to treat them less than equal, to treat them less than human, to treat them less than the way you want to be treated. And we'll talk about that later in the program. But in the first century in Jesus' day, John 4:4-9, the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. The Jews did not want to be around others. And they had their choice words for people who weren't Jews, derogatory terms and so forth, just like today. And we find that in the New Testament that Christians, and even like the Apostle Peter, has to learn that because of the gospel of Christ and the new law, there's to be no separation from other people, no discrimination of other people. He had to learn that in Acts chapter 10 and 11. He had to learn that in Galatians chapter 2. And not only is there to be no discrimination or segregation based upon race or color of skin, but we learn from James chapter 2, verses 1 through 9, that there's to be no economic racism, if you will. No looking at a person, whether they're rich or poor, and separating from them. And they had that problem in James chapter 2, verses 1 through 9, that even Christians coming into the assembly, the rich would not associate with the poor. And James says that this is not right at all. And so people have to rethink some things. They are taught by their society to segregate and discriminate, and they have to come back and learn the Bible truth about these matters. And even some Christians need to learn that. In James chapter 2, 1 through 9, James is talking to brethren, to Christians. They had gotten that idea that you stay away from the poor people. They didn't get that from God's word. They got that elsewhere. And so even Christians can benefit by coming back to learning just basic fundamental principles of how we need to treat our fellow man. I believe we are falling down in our society about just basic courtesy, basic kindness, basic equality when talking and dealing with others. And we've got to get that back in our lives. Another result, of course, that is even a greater detriment than these things that we've already mentioned is that of genocide or killing individuals based upon their race, and in some cases, large-scale groups of people. So Pharaoh in Exodus chapter 1 wanted to kill Jewish baby boys. Haman in Esther, the book of Esther, he didn't like Mordecai, and so he wanted to kill the Jews. The Jewish Holocaust of the 1930s and early 1940s in Germany and Poland and other places. South African apartheid, the ethnic cleansing in Croatia, and other areas today. The Chinese Uyghur Muslims are being put in internment camps, and many of them are being killed because they don't fit in with the rest of what the Chinese government wants. That type of thing goes on today, and it is carnal, it is worldly minded, it is ungodly, it is evil, it is wicked, and it needs to stop. And the way that it is prevented, and that's what I want to spend the majority of our time on this morning, is knowing some basic Bible truths. It's not a coincidence that we have these types of things going on with leaders who are atheists and ungodly and wicked and evil, as in the case of the current situation in China or Adolf Hitler in the Jewish Holocaust. These are individuals that are not guided by Judeo-Christian principles, by biblical principles of both the Old and New Testament on how to treat your fellow man, the proper treatment of your fellow man, and the proper understanding. It comes from ungodly, atheistic individuals. And that's why we have the problem even today. And so the way to eradicate it, the way to prevent it, and if there's anything like that going on in our nation, and there are places where it is, it's going to be prevented the same way. And that is coming back to biblical principles. So let's talk about a few of those this morning. Number one, we need to know that all people in the world today that have ever been, that are today and ever will be, they all come from one original couple, Adam and Eve. So turn with me to Acts chapter 17. There is, in fact, one human race. Now, today and last week, I've been using races, different races, plural. I'm using that in an accommodative sense. That's how people talk about people of different colors and so forth. But the fact is, there is one human race. We're all humans. We're all the same. We're all made in the image of God. We did talk about that last week, Genesis 1, 26 and 27. But when Paul is preaching in Athens, and he's talking about the one true God, Acts 17, 25, neither is he, God, served by men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he himself gives to all life and breath and all things, and he made of one every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, having determined their appointed seasons and the bounds of their habitation. He made one of one, that is Adam and Eve, and all of us, regardless of our skin color, the shape and size, the way our eyes look, high cheekbones or not, it doesn't matter. We all come from Adam and Eve. We are all a part of one human race. And one of the problems is found in the very next verse, that they should seek God. That's the problem with many today. They're not seeking God. If they were in His Word, then there would racism could be eliminated and eradicated. So there is one human race. We all have the same ancestry. Number two, we're all made in the image of God. I mentioned Genesis 1, 26 and 27. That's repeated again. Genesis 3, 20, Genesis 9, 6, James 3, 9. And so if we're all made in the image of God, we need to treat each other properly. The outward skin color does not change who we are on the inside. God gives us our spirit, Hebrews chapter 12, and He gives each and every individual the same image. And we need to remember that and not mistreat an individual. And if it's wrong to mistreat someone verbally, James 3:9, it's also wrong to mistreat someone physically or in some other way. We're all in the same situation with coming from the same original couple and being made in the image of God. So number one, know that all people in the world today make up a part of one human race. Number two, we need to know that God is no respecter of persons, and neither should we be. What God is not, we should also not be. Deuteronomy 10, 17 through 19, 2 Chronicles 19, 7, Acts 10, 34 and 35, Galatians 2, 6, Ephesians 6, 9, Colossians 3, 25, 1 Peter 1, 17. All of these passages teach that God is no respecter of persons. And we're going to talk about this later with regard to the plan of salvation, but everyone is given the same plan of salvation. Everyone is given the same physical blessings from God. He sends rain on the just and the unjust. All are a part of God's creation. And we don't need to have a respecter of persons if God does not have a respecter of persons. That means treating everyone fairly, everyone justly, everyone righteously, treating others the way you would want to be treated. You see, we'll talk about that more later with what we call the golden rule. And so that second point is extremely important. If someone is a respecter of persons, it's not because they got it from God. They're getting that from the world around them, where some people are wanting to elevate themselves over others. That is ungodly. And so treat everyone fairly, justly, properly, and we would have a much better world. I'll just read one of these. 1 Peter 1:17. And if you call on him as Father, who without respect of persons judges according to each man's work, pass the time of your sojourning in fear. We're all going to be judged based upon our works. The judgment day will all be fair. There won't be any respecter of persons on the judgment day, and there should be none today. So remember that. 3, know that God saves all people the same way. We're very familiar with John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus died on the cross for all mankind. The plan of salvation is for all mankind. The gospel went to all creatures, went into all the world. Mark 16:15, Matthew 28:19-20. And the grace of God has appeared to all men, Titus 2:11. Jesus died on the cross for all nations, Revelation 5:9. And so all of us can be a Christian. All of us can be saved exactly the same way. All can have an opportunity to go to heaven. And as a Christian, there is to be no more these separations that mankind make one with another. And of course, on this program every week, we call upon anyone who needs to be saved from their sin to be baptized into Christ for the remission of their sins and have those sins washed away. Everyone can be saved the same way. And so that shows that we're all on in equal footing, the same footing in the sight of God. Men and women, young and old, white or black, it doesn't matter. The gospel is for all. And I wish some of the children's Bible songs could be practiced among the adults. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. We've lost sight of that sometimes when we grow up, and adults lose sight of that because of what we talked about earlier, whether it's hate or prejudice or ignorance or whatever. And people get mistreated. Jesus loves everyone the same. And let's remember that. 4, we need to know that God is concerned about the inward man, not the outward skin color of a person. God looks on the heart, 1 Samuel 16:7. And it's what's on the inside, Jesus said. If you want to turn with me to Mark chapter 7. We're going to read verses 20-23. What's on the inside is what is important in our heart. Sometimes the Jews in Jesus' day had placed an emphasis on washing hands. And Jesus said, it doesn't matter whether you wash your hands or not. What matters is what is on the inside. Are you clean on the inside in your heart? And what's interesting about this is that Jesus gets to the heart of the matter. While people are busy causing problems with outward skin color, they're ignoring, they're deflecting away from their inward heart problems. Jesus said in Mark 7:20, he said, that which proceeds out of the man, that defiles the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, evil thoughts proceed, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, coveting, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, railing, pride, foolishness. All these evil things proceed from within and defile the man. And there are so many people, even today, that are talking about skin color when they need to be talking about their heart. And the irony of some of this is, I've seen over the past year where individuals are trying to raise awareness for someone of a particular skin color, but they're doing it in a way that is evil, and what's coming from their heart is actually evil. Theft, murder, deceit, pride, foolishness. I've seen all of these things over the past year in the name of trying to get away from racism. People are actually using an evil heart to do wicked things. So they are deflecting and they are distracting from what's really going on inside their heart with these other kinds of things. We've got to stop that. Number five, we need to know that we must have love and good deeds for all people, regardless of their skin color. We need to love our neighbor as ourselves. Deuteronomy 10:19, Matthew 22:39, Romans 13:9-10, James 2:10. We need to love our neighbor as ourselves. And we need to treat others the way we would want to be treated. We want to be treated kindly. We need to treat others that way. Not just someone of a certain color, but all individuals. And we need to be serious about that. We need to be kind and courteous and helpful to all people. Turn with me to Romans chapter 13, verses 9 and 10. Romans 13, 9 and 10. Nine of the Ten Commandments are repeated in the New Testament. The Sabbath day is not. The day of worship in the New Testament is Sunday. But the others are repeated. Romans 13, verse 9, for this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other command, it is summed up in this word, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love works no ill to his neighbor. Love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the law. There would be no racism if this were truly practiced. There would be no killing. There would be no discrimination and segregation and murder if we practice this verse. Sacrificial, caring, serving love. And that's just the truth of the matter. That's what's going on. It's a lack of love for your neighbor. And Paul says it is summed up in this word. All of the law, and Jesus makes this point in Matthew 22, 37 through 39. The whole law is summed up in our relationship with God. Love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, body, and strength. And the second, likened unto this, love thy neighbor as thyself. All of the old law could be summed up with our relationship with God and our relationship with our fellow man. Love is not going to work any ill toward his neighbor. Well, why do we have all of this ill, this evil, this wickedness? Because of the opposite of love. We have hatred. And we've got to stop that. And again, the only way is to know these biblical truths and follow them. We are in a secular world. That's why we see the mistreatment of others. And while I do not believe that it is systemic, I believe the vast majority of Americans follow Judeo-Christian principles, but as each generation comes along that is not raised on the Word of God, and we definitely have that going, biblical illiteracy is at an all-time high, church attendance is at an all-time low, As more and more young people are raised in a secular, ungodly home, humanistic, secularistic, atheistic, they're not going to know the Bible. There are some probably that haven't even opened a Bible. And they're just simply going to live out their life with their fellow man any way they want. And we're going to have more and more problems. Number six. You need to know, we need to know that we can have true unity and equality in Christ regardless of one's color. Jesus died on the cross to bring us all together in the church as a Christian. And it is Christians, New Testament Christians, those who follow biblical principles, there's not a racist bone in their body. And I resent being told that I'm a racist because I'm white. And that's what many people are saying today. I take umbrage with that. I take issue with that because I was raised from birth not to have any racism at all in my life. And I've tried hard to follow the biblical principles of that. And I'm hearing today, well, you're automatically such and such if you're this skin color. No, sir, that is not true. My parents were Christians. They raised us to be Christians, and that's why I'm different. I'm not different just because of a coincidence. I'm not different because I just chose that. I'm different because I was told and taught to follow the New Testament. And a part of that is that we can be united and one. The early part of my life was spent primarily around Hispanic people here in the United States, in Texas. My father preached in Spanish. And we were told, it doesn't matter what your color is, we're all the same. And that's the way it is. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 16, speaking of Jesus, and might reconcile them both in one body unto God through the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Paul is talking about Jews and Gentiles. It would be the same with anybody today. We are all one in Christ, one body. So friends, racism, whether it's in or out of the Lord's church, will be solved by transforming one's mind to the will of God in the Bible, not by civil policies alone, not by forced integration, but by following biblical principles. God will not judge us on the color of our skin. He's going to judge us on the content of our character. And I know that from Romans chapter 2, verses 6 through 11. He's going to judge us based upon the deeds done in the body. That's what God is looking at. Your character, friends, not the color of your skin. Thank you for joining us on the Let the Bible Speak program. All previous programs are listed on our website if you would like to listen to previous versions of the Let the Bible Speak program. Thank you for being with us today, and I hope that you'll have a good day.